Welcome back to the Dialcast. It's just me this week. Chris is in sunny Madrid, sunbathing, and I think he was at the Bernabeu last night, so he was rather enjoying himself. And this week, I am joined by Dial Square fan John. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to be with you, Adam.
So we're gonna get started. Obviously, I think the natural place to start here is how you got into football and sort of how that sort of came about when you were younger. Was it something from young age or family influence?
Yeah, I mean, being from Northern Ireland, there's kind of, obviously there's clubs here and whatever, but, you know, we're neighbours to England. That's where the big football is. That's where you want to watch your football. And coming from Londonderry, born 1972, and one day in 1976, I needed a PE kit for school, and my father took me to a sports shop, and I came out with an Arsenal home kit. And, you know, I could hardly be accused of being a glory hunter because it was 1976 and we were one of our kind of doldrums at that stage. And who knows why I picked that particular kit, but that's what happened. I like to think it was because of kind of the red, you know, the red body and the white sleeves, and that kind of made it, you know, more appealing to me because everybody else was just playing in kind of blocks of colour back in those days. And I remember the guy handed me the badge because you had to take the badge home and get your mum to sew it on because the shirt didn't even come with a badge on it. So that was me and the football. Most of the people I knew, most of the people I went to school with were all Liverpool or Manchester United supporters. My father's a Manchester United supporter, but not really. He came from the generation where, you know, he'd been a young man, the Munich air disaster and stuff like that. And a lot of people in Northern Ireland were drawn to Manchester United because of Munich and also because of George Best as well. So that was that. And then obviously Liverpool were the most successful team in England at the time, so they were a natural follow, and I found myself pretty much on my own as an Arsenal supporter in this part of the world.
So that's quite a while to be supporting Arsenal. There must be some memories in there. So what's your favourite memory over that period?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many. I mean, in terms of kind of my favourite match, it would have to be FA Cup semi-final 93 or Copenhagen 94, which were great, but you know, to a certain extent, you know, most of the guys you speak to, whatever, are kind of London-based or around that area, so kind of seeing Arsenal's not really been a problem. I've been a season ticket holder for the last couple of years, and getting over to maybe more recently, you know, maybe sort of 15, 18 matches a season, but there were seasons when you're only getting over to two or three, and the first time I saw them live was when they came to me, actually. They played Glentoran in 1981, which is a Belfast team, and beat them 2-0 that night, and that was the first time I saw them in a friendly. And then the next match was the FA Cup semi-final in 1983 when we played Manchester United at Villa Park. And that was great. 11-year-old boy sitting there completely blown away by Villa Park and these big, big numbers and, you know, the crowd and what have you. Haven't never been in a crowd like that before. And Arsenal scored first, Tony Woodcock, and I stood up and cheered and looked around as I sat on the main stand at Aston Villa, and everybody else looking at me wondering what I was doing there and what the situation was, because my father had managed to get us tickets in the Manchester United end, and neither of us had seen this when we came in, so that was interesting. We lost 2-1 and we got out of there fairly scot-free, so that wasn't too bad. So, you know, I travelled a lot with Arsenal in the early 90s. Remember the travel club, I was living in Liverpool, I studied in Liverpool, drama and English up there, and basically travelled around as much as I could, did many more away matches than I could do home matches. But as you probably know yourself, getting away tickets these days is like hen's teeth, so it's very, very difficult to get the away matches, so I focus more on the home ones, and you can do a bit of planning for that. And it's handy enough, easy jet or cheap enough at the minute. You know, it's cheaper now to fly to London than it was 25 years ago, so that's a good thing. So I try to get as much as I can, and then, you know, those times where maybe Dial's playing on the Saturday, Arsenal's playing on the Sunday, then combine the two as well and not get into quite as much trouble with my wife.
So you've got that strong connection to Arsenal there, but obviously how did supporting Dial Square come about? How did you hear about the club, and what sort of piqued your interest in following them?
Well, I mean, I suppose what you have there is, I mean, in terms of my connection with Dial or how I came to Dial, there was an article in the Gooner, which comes through the door here every couple of months or whenever they publish it. And there was a piece in that about it. And I thought, fantastic. I'm an Arsenal traditionalist. I love the books. I love reading in the 30s and stuff like that. I collect programmes associated with the club. And those kind of eras of kind of tradition and respect and sportsmanship and being about, you know, a local community, you know, and having this facility within it, the football club, which was a mighty draw and a mighty power within the communities. And I see the situation kind of happening over the last number of years where that's been eroded. You know, you look at Chelsea, you look at Manchester City, they're completely doped in terms of kind of, you know, that's what's happened. They've been the financial steroids effectively to get them where they've had to go. I mean, Herbert Chapman, our great manager from the 30s, said that, you know, success would bring you wealth, but that's the other way around. It's been flipped in its head. Wealth has brought them success. And they might say they mightn't have had a chance to do that otherwise when you look at the big clubs, like say United and Liverpool and ourselves. But I think it's kind of, it's like winning the lottery, really, for those clubs. They haven't really earned it. So although my kind of love for Arsenal is still very strong, there's a kind of sense of slightly disenfranchised from the game at that level. And Dial came along, you know, if it had come along 3 or 4 years ago, I would have jumped on board just as enthusiastically. And that's what I've done. I saw the article on the Gooner, I contacted them straight away. I became one of the inaugural members, which is great because this year's home shirt has got the names of us all on it, which is a real thing to have. It's the first time anybody's put my name in a shirt for any reason. So that's nice. And that's where we are. And basically what happened off that, I mean, what I think has come from that is this community, which is building up around Dial Square. Obviously last year with COVID, the season collapsed and what have you. So I wasn't attached to the club when we played any matches. I've sort of fallen in with a number of guys there, which is the good part of it. It's the great part of it. I'd been over, I managed to get a ticket for the Rapid Vienna match last December. So I've been over for that. And then I thought, you know, hope against hope, you would get one for the Brighton match at the end of the season. And I thought I was coming over for the protest because of what was going on with the Super League and stuff like that. So I committed to coming to the protest the week after and coming to the Brighton match. Didn't get a ticket for the Brighton match. The protest was a bit not great, to be honest with you. It was a wee bit, maybe not quite as focused as it should have been. And, you know, basically what happened was I'd been added to the WhatsApp group for Dial Square and I had nowhere to watch the match. I made a mistake. I looked at the listings and the Arsenal match wasn't on. And I thought, one of these guys in this group is going to know where there's a stream coming in so I can at least watch the match on a TV in North London. And there was a fellow called John Miller, who's associated with the club. You probably know John. And he put in the WhatsApp, he says, come and watch us up in T-Birds, which is a bar which a lot of the guys drink in up on the Blackstock Road. And I went up there, fell in with a bunch of guys, a lot of them Dial Square. And things have just kind of escalated from there. And like I say, I get a real sense of a community coming from Dial Square. I get a real sense of a bunch of guys who feel probably a bit let down by the way football's gone. You know, they feel that, you know, they would all feel that there is a custodianship which football owners should have towards their clubs. That is completely removed now. You know, wondering why nobody who's English wants to buy English football clubs is quite bizarre. Why everybody seems to want to be, why everybody who wants to seem to buy them comes from elsewhere and doesn't have that sense of community, doesn't have that sense of ownership, doesn't have that sense of being part of something. And that to me, hopefully that's been rediscovered in Dial Square. And like I say, there's a lot of guys there who feel like that. Stuart Morgan, who kicked everything off, and Stuart's very passionate about that. And you meet with guys who are disenfranchised with Arsenal as well. And I don't want to leave Arsenal. I don't want to give it up. I'm not going to give it up. I've kind of invested too much time and too much love in it. So I'm not going to do that. But I see Dial Square as a kind of as an angel on the shoulder of Arsenal, reminding it where it came from, reminding it where it should be focused on what it should be looking at and bringing support to the community and support to the Arsenal supporting community that's out there.
that sort of your favourite thing about Dial Square, that sort of family feel, that connection that you feel with fans and sort of the players that you almost don't get, obviously, at the top clubs like Arsenal, where obviously we've had that divide with the Super League, obviously, in the past, and it probably will still resurface. Is that what, you know, makes it sort of the best thing, you know, about the club?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, there's a bunch of guys there who, whenever they grab the shirt, they kiss the, you know, they kiss the badge after they've scored a goal, you know, know the name of the football club they're kissing. You know what I mean? They're looking down to check to see what it is, which is the impression I get from a lot of these boys. It's become very mercenary. It's become, you know, it's become a cash cow for people. Other people are using it for other things. You know, I've made more friends through Dial Square in the last 6 months than I've made, you know, at Arsenal in the last 30 years. And, you know, I've fallen into a great community, and there's a bunch of great fellas there who are from all over, boys from Harlow, boys from Eastbourne, guys from Wimbledon, whatever, like, but they're all coming together because of the fact that, you know, football means something to them. Arsenal Football Club still means something to them in varying ways and varying degrees. And I think we'd all just love for it to go back to the way it was. Rain-soaked terraces on a Tuesday night. You know, that's what we all bought into. That's what we all love. And now it gets mocked by the likes of Josh Kroenke and people like that. So I think that's what we're there looking for. And I think we sound very romantic here, but we all sort of kind of found each other with this thing. And to a certain extent, the football is important, and doing well and bringing diets there up is important, but also bringing a community around the football club again, I think, is equally important. And regardless if they're playing in the Guildford and Wigan Premier League from now to doomsday, I'll still be supporting them.
How much do you buy into the project? Obviously, you speak about, you know, sort of the leagues and sort of the plans that obviously Stuart Morgan has in place. How much do you buy into that, and, you know, how much does that excite you as a fan?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I mean, when you look at the journey that the likes of AFC Wimbledon have taken, you know, the likes of FC United Manchester, you know, Salford, where people have actually sort of put their money where their mouth is, some bigger, you know, some were more financially, you know, supported than others. But at the same time, people have kind of gone, you know, we're not really up for this. We're going to go another way. And that's fine. That's where we wanted it. I mean, I'm waiting for Stuart to unveil the master plan this sometime, like, you know, but I know he's got one, and he's got a 5-year, 10-year plan in there to take the club up and bring it on. And that's what you want to do. And I think the people around the club at the moment see that there is something very special which is happening. And I mean, that's important, that the people who are signed up to it are committed to it. I mean, it's 500 miles to a home game for me and 500 miles home again. You know what I mean? I'm crossing the sea to come and see it. Like, I've only been to two games, you know, up until this point, but at the same time, you know, this is possibly where kind of the organisation of the league, not the club, but the league sort of lets it down a wee bit, because we can't get a fixture list for the season, you know, and it's very difficult to kind of plan your activities around that if you don't know what you're coming to see, or you don't know what the situation is. But that's, again, hopefully we can climb out of where we are and get to a more established league with maybe a more professional outlook, and we, you know, a bigger league. For example, I mean, we've only got 8 teams in this league this season, so fundamentally there's only going to be 14 games in the league season, which is very short. So, you know, are we going to be done by the end of January? Are they going to take a big winter break, stuff like that? So hopefully we can get ourselves into a league structure which is going to be a bit more organised and a bit more substantial, and then Dial Square can hopefully flourish. You know, I would love to encourage more and more Arsenal supporters to come down to it. You know, I do see it as something which is a part of Arsenal, something which is a fundamental part of Arsenal. You know, if a Tottenham supporter came and said they wanted to be part of it, I think it would struggle with that a wee bit, to be honest with you. So, I do see it as a kind of Arsenal-only preserve, and I would encourage people to come down, because it's a marriage. It's, you know, it should be a coalesce between the two clubs in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You would love to see it in a, you know, have a situation in a number of years' time where maybe Arsenal took it on to the extent, you know, pre-season friendly against the under-23s or something like that. You know, I would love to see the club follow the old traditions that were kind of set in the 1930s as well. You know, we used to play Racing Club de Paris every year as a kind of charity match for former soldiers. I would love to see, seeing Racing Club are still there. They're in the fifth tier of French football. You'd love to see somebody start that off. These are conversations which maybe need to start now. I'm just finding my feet with the club, and I'll tell you, it's been absolutely brilliant up to this point.
Obviously, they're moving on to this season. Obviously, the club had a bit of a change in the summer. Obviously, Simon came in as the head, sort of, well, the coach, the boss. And obviously, we've also seen a sort of an influx of new players. Sort of, have you sort of, well, perceived those players, and you know what you've seen on like social media and just in general, like how have you sort of thoughts on the season so far, really?
I mean, we're up there. I mean, last season as the starting season wasn't that successful. Probably the record has been inverted because I think we had one win last season. At this stage, we've only had one defeat this year. So I mean, that's great. Guys have come in. Guys have believed in the project. And when you're speaking to some of those players, you know, they're into it. They're there because they want to be part of this. They're there because they see where this is going. You know, it might sound a bit grandiose, but you know, in 100 years' time, they want it to be their photographs, their names in that history of Dial Square, and that's a very laudable thing. And if they're seeing that as players, then it's very obvious for everybody to see where we want to go. And that's something that I would like to do. I would like to cover the club's development over the next 10 years and see where it is. I'm a theatre producer and a writer. So it would be nice to kind of maybe spend that time over the next 10 years putting something together which basically talks about the inception of the club and how it was formed and how it's developed. And by that stage, it'll have moved on sufficiently, you know, to have kind of created its own, to be well-rooted and well, you know, well-supported in 10 years' time. So whatever opportunities I can bring or whatever influence I can bring, because, again, it's quite frustrating to be based where I am. You know, I would love to be based in London at the moment. I would love to be able to attend meetings. I would love to be able to kind of form strategies and whatever. So that would be a nice thing to do and help, because I do have a bit of a background in football administration as well, because I've done stuff for the Irish Football Association. I was the vice chairman of the appeals board of the IFA for a number of years, and I've just actually been brought back onto the appeals board of the Irish Football Association as an independent member, so I have some understanding of the vagaries of football administration, which can never be the clearest waters on occasion. So, but again, I am where I am, and I'll do what I can from here, and the club can always rely on me for my support.
Obviously, a player that you'll probably know quite well is Ian Selly. Obviously, used to play for Arsenal. What do you make of that one? Obviously, he's known now at Dial Square. Is that sort of an appeal for fans, you know, that there's this ex-player, you know, that could actually, you'd come and watch on a Saturday?
Yeah, it appeals to me. I was there on Saturday and we had Selly from the halfway line, which takes the focus off that boy who did it in 95 against us, which was fantastic. I mean, it's lovely where you get an ex-pro, and he and I are roughly the same age, you know, so I know the creaks of his body. You know, where you get a guy like that who wants to come out on a Saturday and still play football. And the fact that he sees, you know, this club is something that he can support, you know, with his time and with his skill. That's fantastic. You know, and it's great that somebody has just bought into that somebody see, like, it validates what we're doing. It validates what Stuart and John and Jamie and all the other guys are doing in terms of where they're trying to take the club. And when you get attention like that, I mean, there was good luck messages from the likes of Kevin Campbell and Anders Limpar on the social media before the start of the season. The Anders Limpar one just sent me to the fair because he's one of my favourites ever. You know, that was fantastic. So it's nice that those guys out there see that. It's nice that they're prepared to give it a bit of notice and a bit of profile and a bit of attention. And like I said, it just cements those relationships with Arsenal. Whether Arsenal want those relationships or not, I think they're going to have to get them, and I think they're going to just have to suffer that if they don't, if they're not happy about it. I think it's time that Dial Square had a wee bit of an impact on the club itself.
You just spoke there about sort of you at the game at the weekend, obviously a great 6-1 win over Horsley Reserves. What did you make of the performance, and which players maybe stood out from that game for you?
Well, I mean, you've got that duo up front of Donaldson and Watkins. Like, I mean, they're exceptional, and they just seem to have a great relationship with each other. You know, there's a young fullback, Alfie Reid, who's very good as well. There's a guy called Dave Nathan, and Dave's been to every Dial Square match so far. You know, and Dave would have the lowdown on all the players. You know what I mean? So that's good. Obviously, Sally in midfield as well. You know, and the likes of, you know, those folks, you know, they're playing well. The faces and the names aren't going together yet for me. So there's some of them, but obviously the likes of Nick and Mark, you know, the two up front who grabbed the attention. You know, it was just a very comprehensive win. You know, 4-0 up at half time. Then, I mean, like I say, Ian Selly from the first touch of the second half was to take the ball over the keeper's head and make it 5. And then I think just naturally enough, the guy sort of knocked it down a couple of gears. But we still ran out 6-1 winners and comfortable 6-1 winners. You didn't see anything there. You kind of go, well, that was a result that we didn't deserve and that we thoroughly deserved it. And the stuff I've seen us play, we have done. You know, I think there's been a couple of blips in the season. I haven't witnessed them, but that's kind of been the thing coming back. It's not that we've been comprehensively beaten by a team that, you know, was so much better than us. I just think we had a bad day at the office, and that's the way it is. But then the issue that you have with that is it's a short season, and those results are possibly then magnified and have more impact than they would if we were working maybe a 26 or 30 game season, something like that. So who's to know? We're all hoping that Dial do the business, finish top of the league. And if we get a fixture list that let me know whenever Leyland were playing us at Abbey Rangers, then I would have the plane booked and we'd be ready to come to that one.
You just mentioned Abbey Rangers there. Obviously, we're playing their reserves in the Cup this Saturday. What are your thoughts on that? Is a Cup run something you want to see the club do?
Very much so. I mean, I think sort of a big one for us will be the first big step we'll get will be that time when we go into the FA Cup. And fundamentally, you're competing then in the same competition as Arsenal to get into that. And then hopefully at some point in the future that we all live to see, it will be in the third round of the FA Cup and the possible draw. It would make for a very interesting away end if Arsenal were drawn to play Dial Square in the FA Cup. But we'll worry about that when we come to it. Abbey Rangers, we played them pre-season. You know, we did well against them. I understand these teams can change quite a lot. The personnel can change quite a lot. But, I mean, the setup down there at that club is brilliant. I saw a pre-season friendly down there. And then afterwards they played, they were playing the FA Cup preliminary game and they had a big crowd for that. They have a wonderful setup down there. And you know, nice bar, great facilities, lovely people. So it's a nice place to be. And hopefully on Saturday, whenever we emerge triumphant from our cup match, then we can go have a few pints in the clubhouse after with them, and I'll be sitting in Northern Ireland toasting along as well. Hopefully, I know there's moves to get a live stream going for it. So hopefully that can happen and we'll get to see the match as well.
You talk about triumph. Me and Chris always try and get a score prediction from whoever's on the podcast. So I'm going to throw you under the bus here and get a score prediction.
Oh, goodness. Let me see. 3-2. 3-2 to the Dial.
I'll put on record. I'll go for a 3-1 win. So we'll kind of head towards wrapping it up. I just want you to get like a message out to the fans of like Arsenal or whoever it might be, other clubs, maybe not Tottenham, but anyone else. why should they come and support Dial Square? What, you know, obviously you've kind of talked about that connection, but there must be more reasons behind why you think this is such an exciting project.
Well, for me, this is 1886 all over again. This is the chance to kind of start again with something new, with those people, with that heart, with that community who are going to come together. Obviously, from further distances, there's the guys in Scandinavia who are bought into it. There's the fella in America. There's me over here. And there's another couple of guys in Ireland somewhere. And fellas, the young man came down from Sheffield as well. The first match I was there, Ryan. You know, so it's drawn people from all over. This torch has been lit and people have been drawn to it. And as the word goes out, more and more people will be drawn to it. And those people who maybe think it's a conflict to be Dial Square Arsenal, that's not the case. As Dave Nathan said to me a couple of weeks ago, he said, there's a cannon on both badges and that's for a reason. And he's right about that. So basically, there's no compromise of your Arsenal support if you come to Dial Square. That's very, very important. This is, you're going to come here, you're going to meet true Arsenal supporters who will travel over land and sea and will love to see this club emerge and build and grow. And anybody who has got an interest in English football and the traditions of English football should jump onto that bandwagon and join us and make the club good and strong and raise it up through the divisions.
We go. So if you're listening to this podcast and you've not been to Dial Square yet, 2 o'clock on Saturday against Abbey Rangers Reserves, get down there, support the boys and there, get behind them. Thank you for your time, John. That was a really enjoyable podcast. I'm sure all the fans will really get behind that and enjoy listening to that.
Thank you. Lovely to be part of it. Thank you very much indeed. And you just come to an ordinary fan here. You haven't gone to anybody special, just an ordinary fan, and that's what Dial Square is all about.
Thank you very much. We'll be back next week. We're not sure who's on yet, but we will communicate through the social media. So have a good week, everyone.